Okay, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed lunch, and certainly there was a loud buzz of noise in there, so great that networking and sharing thoughts and ideas. I didn't actually listen to the conversations, but I'm sure they were devoted to IFRS standards. I'd just like to take the opportunity to welcome Masamichi. And to our meeting for a short visit this afternoon, but I think it will be very valuable. So welcome to the meeting. And also then to Michelle for the next session on the IFRS Foundation trustee activities.
Thank you, Joanna. It's good to be here. As a matter of fact, a number of issues have already been addressed this morning and will be addressed this afternoon, so I'll try to be brief and maybe leave room for questions if any. We had our last meeting in London at the end of January. I understand that you have received a summary of the conclusions of this meeting, so I will not go through this summary, only to mention the fact that we focused on a few strategic issues, and I didn't make any comment this morning, but there is one comment I would like to make, which is to commend Yael for the work done. This issue of strategy has been on the table for some time. Trustees had expressed the wish that a specific work be done to make a clear presentation of the strategic and also of the metrics to be able to measure the evolution of our activities. This was a huge work, and Yael has successfully delivered with what was presented to you this morning, and we are very happy with this presentation, which will help us follow the day-to-day work of the organization with a medium-term vision of our development. We devoted a lot of time discussing the feedback to our request for views on the latest review of the foundation structure and effectiveness. As you will devote some time to this later, I will not develop at this stage. We made a few limited decisions, but important ones, and we will have our major discussions in May in Jakarta. And of course, we are very keen to listen to your very constructive views and comments to finalize our conclusions. There is one point I would like to mention, nevertheless, this afternoon in a specific way. It was, by the way, addressed this morning, and this is the importance we pay to the issue of technology developments. And this is an item we foresee as of the essence for the future of IFRS and financial reporting and accounting, generally speaking. And this is probably an issue where you can help us, because you represent great diversity of skills and knowledge and understanding, and I think the input by the Advisory Council could be extremely useful for us. We will try to organize ourselves to address this issue of technological developments. We are willing to organize a sort of network of experts on this, but obviously the Advisory Council can be of great help. I know that Johanna has already thought about that, and she mentioned the possibility to invite an external speaker with expertise on this. This is a good idea and might be something we could consider in the near future. So again, we are seeking our views and advice on this very complex question. The second point I would like to mention specifically is one point in the strategic plan, which was presented this morning in detail, and where again your advice can be very useful, and that is the relationship we want to establish with national and regional standard setters, with a very successful development in the past years, 116 countries that have that now require the use of IFRS, more countries that permit the use of IFRS. There is clearly a need to work very closely with standard setters at the national and regional level to facilitate an harmonious implementation of IFRS worldwide. I mention en passant the presentation that was made on the history of leases. 10 years is a bit of history. 15 years, I understand, is a bit of history. And I fully share the views that have been expressed this morning. I mean, it is not because a standard is simple that you can adopt it easily, even if the main idea is clear-cut and you could imagine that people adopt it immediately. There are so many vested interests, so many intellectual issues, so many political issues at stake that you need time to make things accepted by stakeholders. But nevertheless, I think that this analysis of what happened with leases is extremely enlightening, and the trustees as well as the board will draw lessons on what happened and see whether in the future we can streamline the process. Anyway, I guess that the main standards today have been addressed. We might have some difficult ones on the plate, but I'm not supposed to talk technicalities, but I guess all the standards that deal with the new developments in environment will probably raise a number of difficult issues in the future. Let me now come to international developments. We had a few interesting developments recently. I will not comment on the global picture which was presented to you already. Only to mention the fact that we had two important events in Europe, one in January, where Hans and I took part in an exchange of views with the European Parliament's Economic and Monetary Affairs Committee, the ECON. And I have to say that the mood at this session was very good. You know that there have been some discussions and even criticism at the EU Parliament level by a few MPs, and we were very happy to see that the mood was rather constructive, and even we were surprised to receive compliments from some members of the ECON with regard to the leases standard, which we were very happy to listen to. Obviously, we will continue to engage actively with ECON in the future. We, at the same time, had a meeting with a little, no, not at the same time, but on another occasion, we had a meeting with Lord Hill, the European Commissioner, which was a good opportunity for us to look into all the strategic issues of the organization. And again, our relationship with the EU Commission is excellent, and we look forward for future developments. Earlier this month, Hans and I, together with Ian McIntosh, paid a visit to India. I guess I might have visited India earlier, but the fact is that it was not easy to organize before, and I'm very pleased to say that this visit was extremely productive. India, as you know, is on the road, having decided to adopt a process of phasing in a new set of Indian accounting standards known as Indian AS, which are substantially converged with IFRS standards. And on this occasion, we had the possibility to meet with a number of people there, the Ministry of Corporate Affairs, the Accounting Institute, preparers, the Central Bank, and also the exchanges, and to address all the issues of substance, strategy, and funding. And I look forward for productive consequences of this visit. We will, by the way, be back to India in October for the meeting of the Board of Trustees. I think that completes my report. I'll just look at the last point, which is just a comment, but again, this was addressed this morning by Hugh. This deals with the investors in financial reporting strategy and event we had in London on the occasion of the Board of Trustees. I will not comment on this program, but only echo the fact that it is extremely important for us to strengthen our relationship with investors. You all know, and as a former securities regulator, I know that it is extremely difficult to organize a developed relationship with investors. And this is a paradox, by the way. It's the same for securities regulators who are supposed to protect investors, and for accounting standard setters who are supposed to deliver the best information possible for investors. Now, we are very happy to have a significant number of investors with us, and this will hopefully enrich our discussions in the future. On that occasion, we had a fascinating panel, not a panel, by the way, a presentation by our trustee, Chin Li Chun, who explained the role of the new Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. And I think that was quite a remarkable presentation, which impressed the audience. But we know Chin Li Chun is a remarkable person. I will not comment on the DPOC, which I chaired on behalf of Jim Quigley. I will hand over to David, who will report to you on the DPOC and possibly add a few comments on this touchy issue that was addressed this morning, which is the TRG one, where we had a significant discussion. David.
Thank you, Michel. Good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, the DPOC, as I say, tackled a number of issues that were covered, referred to this morning by Hans, Hugh and Henry. The first, as Michel says, the committee spent some time on the revenue recognition issue, on the fact that the board has taken the view that it won't schedule any further meetings of its TRG. Some of the questions from the committee, I think, maybe reflected some of the issues that a number of you raised this morning. And I think the board, as Hugh and Henry this morning stressed to you, is not stepping back from implementation activities on IFRS 15. What they wanted was to get this balance between a stable platform for preparers and everyone else to get IFRS 15 into place, and not to give the impression that it's a standard that is going to be subject to further change in the lead up to implementation. And I think that that struck a chord with the committee, but you know, nevertheless, the committee was concerned that there is still avenues open for people to raise some concerns, some issues, as they get closer to implementation. I think, Garth, that was something you were particularly concerned with, and I think the board's very cognizant of that. So the board representatives at the meeting were very keen to stress that, you know, they're not stepping back, they're continuing to watch implementation. And I think, you know, following the discussion, the DPOC expressed its support on its emphasis on stability, but considering how it might keep the door open, and to stress again to the wider world that it's not stepping back from its activities in supporting the implementation. We also had an initial high-level feedback on the agenda consultation feedback that Hugh gave us. And again, the DPOC, because there's a fair read across in terms of consistent application between the agenda consultation and the trustees review, which we'll come to in the next session, and around the relevance of standards. And again, we've touched on those issues this morning, in particular around the wider corporate reporting issues. The DPOC say that the trustees, you know, want to have a good feel for the feedback from the agenda consultation, as well as the feedback on the review of structure and effectiveness, so we can see where the synergies lie and the overlaps. And so they'll get a presentation on both in terms of the analysis in May, and then I guess this council will get where we are on both consultations at its June meeting. Hans mentioned the milestone in February of the board's decisions on completing its deliberations on the insurance contract standard. At its meeting, the DPOC had sneak previews of drafts of a number of papers that the board considered in February, in particular around its analysis of the staff recommendation of why they thought that another re-exposure wasn't necessary, as well as the paper reviewing all the due process steps and asking the board's permission to ballot. I think the DPOC appreciated the chance to review the papers and felt that that was enough for the board to consider at its February meeting. But again, as Hans mentioned, that there's a huge task ahead for the board and a very careful implementation process through in drafting the standard and getting the standard out. And I think that the committee was reassured again by the board saying that there'll be a careful process, there'll be consultation with people on certain aspects of the drafting, there'll be project updates, I think, on the way through. Part of the DPOC's consideration of that was that they had a mini review of the final stages of the leases standard. So in effect, from the 10 months from permission to ballot to publication of the standard. Sometimes things can go quiet and people are saying what's happening. And what the committee was given was a presentation by the staff who said about the number of review drafts that were prepared, the comments on them, not only from internally within the organisation, but with an external group of reviewers, and the process that was taken to take comments carefully into account in the finalisation of the drafting. The DPOC also was alerted to the very full effects analysis on the leases standard, noting that this is the first major standard that's been issued following the report of the effects analysis consultative group at the end of 2014. And they had an analysis given to them of how the effects analysis of the leases standard matched up against the recommendations given by the consultative group. And I think there's some interesting lessons there to be learned when the effects analysis on the insurance contract standard in particular is prepared, and for future standards as well that require a full effects analysis. I think the committee was struck that with the leases effects analysis, for anyone who's read it, it does set, I think, quite a high benchmark. And I think this is something that is a challenge for the board in future, and maybe a challenge for those jurisdictions that might have to do a similar kind of exercise in the thinking about the endorsement of the standard. And I'm looking at Roger in particular here, given the challenge that EFRAG will have in the coming months as IFRS 16 comes up for endorsement. So it was a very full meeting. They were the main issues. Back to you, Michelle.
Thank you, David. And this completes my our report.
Thank you very much. It must have been a, obviously was, a very full-on meeting with a number of significant issues. So are there any questions or comments from advisory council members on either what Michelle had to say or David? No? Okay, in which case we might move on to one of the substantive issues that obviously the trustees actually did talk about in their January meeting,